Welcome to the Educate to Advocate podcast.
I'm April Tate, mom of two, founder of Drops of Hope Consulting, and a special education advocate.
I am Dr. Penny Stack, occupational therapist and founder of Dyslexia Center of Tulsa, where we provide team-based therapy to bring children to grade level reading. Hey, let's share with everyone why we are doing the podcast.
I'm here to connect with listeners so that we don't feel alone in the process of helping our children.
I'm here to broaden awareness for providers that learning difficulties are not just about learning issues or needs. It's about a person's lived experience.
Let's get into today's topic. So today we are talking about an email that we received from a listener. Thank you, Ashley, for writing in. She wrote to us about her child who is improving their reading skills, but they're still seeing letter reversals. And she was looking for some tips on how to improve this. And so right out of the gate, I think, you know, something that we should say is letter reversals are still typical for kids, you know, up to age eight, second and third grade. You're still seeing typical letter reversals, and that's okay.
That's absolutely okay.
I think that our concern is when we get beyond that, such as fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, and so forth, what are some things that we can do in that point, at that point, to start working on that?
Right. So you've heard me say this a million times. We need to get to the why.
Sure.
Because the why of the reason for letter reversals really impacts the treatment. So one of the first things I always ask is, how are they taught handwriting? Because some schools don't teach handwriting anymore. So I often wonder, have they just not had the opportunity to learn how to do handwriting, or is they know how to do handwriting, now it's something else. So I'm going to put you on the spot for a second, and I'm going to actually ask you to do something. And parents, if you are sitting at a desk or sitting at home, go ahead and grab a piece of paper and a pencil, and you can do this with us. Now, if you're driving, please do not
do this
while you're driving, right? So what I'm going to have you do is, we all know that our letters start at the top,
yes,
right? So go to a line on the paper as if you're going to do a letter. And what I would like you to do is draw a little line, a straight line, like you were going to write a lowercase, I don't know.
B?
B.
Okay.
Okay, just draw that little line. Okay. Now, about halfway down that line, what I'd like you to do is, you are going to come up just halfway up on the right-hand side, and you're going to do a little curve. So start at the bottom, then come back up and do
just
a little curve. Right. A little curve all the way around. Bring it
all the way
around to the bottom.
Okay.
So that's your letter B.
Okay.
So your letter B started at the top and you slid down the fireman pole and you drew your little line, and then you came halfway back up, and then you did your little curve all the way around.
Correct.
And that is the start and sequence of a lowercase B. So now what I'd like you to do is write the letter C. Okay. When you write the letter C, when you come to the end of the C, I'd like you at that point to take your pencil and then draw a little line straight up, like a helicopter comes straight up off the ground. All the way up, nice and high, because we're going to make that tall. Nice and high, good. And then slide back down. That's exactly right. So the start and sequence of a letter B is distinctly different than the letter C.
Correct.
So that's why I always ask if they've been taught handwriting, because if they've not been taught, they may not have a letter reversal issue at all. It may be a start and sequence issue. So we start there.
Okay. Okay.
But let's say they were taught and they still have struggles with B, D, 5 and 3, S and 8. You know, I've seen, you know, a variety of these. And so, or S and 5, that's one that gets reversed often. Okay. So let's say that this is still a concern. The next step, I would say, is take a look at their visual perceptual skills, specifically visual discrimination, being able to look at a variety of things and identify what is the same.
Okay.
So think about all the different writing utensils we have. We have highlighters, a blue pen, a pencil. So you have them all laid out there, and maybe you have a couple of each. Can you take a look and find two that match? Those, that would be visual discrimination, finding things that are the same. Or if you're like me, and you have five different sets of flatware in your drawer and trying to set the table, can you find two forks that match, right?
Right.
And then the other one would be spatial awareness, where you can see a variety of patterns, and can you find the one that is different? Think about a jigsaw puzzle. Could you take that piece and manipulate it so they go together? So If you're testing visual perceptual skills such as visual discrimination and spatial awareness, typically if you have letter reversals, you will have deficits in those areas. And when I mean deficits, I mean the score would be below average. Okay. And that would definitely help a therapist determine a plan and some activities that your child can do to increase. Now, what if they were taught handwriting, they're still doing reversals, and they score amazing on these visual perceptual tests? And you're thinking, okay, now what? Because you just kind of scratch your head. Because you would think if their spatial awareness is fine, they should be able to distinguish between these letters, because that's the very definition of visual discrimination and spatial awareness, right? So the next test I always recommend, there's a test out there. And when I say I'm recommending, I am not endorsing these items. And I just want to make our listeners aware that this is not an endorsement. I'm not receiving, you know, sure, affiliation money from these companies. These are just tests that I've used as a practitioner that I have found helpful to identify the root of the problem so I know how to refer or how to treat. So the next one I would do is the Jordan left-right reversal test. And this test is specific just for reversals. And I have found that I do have some children who score average on a visual perceptual test, but don't do well on the Jordan left-right. I'm like, really? Well, that's very interesting.
Well, I love that you do that, because I feel like that's how we find these hard problems, is having those outliers that you wouldn't see with just one test.
Exactly. And I used to just do the one test and I couldn't figure it out. And I actually learned this from another practitioner.
Oh, really?
I thought, okay, let me see. And I started seeing the trend, because I love to collect data, right?
Yes.
So typically, if they really struggle with the Jordan left right and they score atypical or they score borderline range, I then start asking questions about how their eye muscles are working together, or eye teaming. Mm-hmm. You know, we are not frogs.
Right. Right? And so our eyes need to work together.
Right. So when I think about a frog, you know, they can have one eye looking all the way over to the left, another eye looking over to the right, and they can hop straight forward and be fine.
Sure.
We would fall.
Absolutely.
And so things to think about. This is where observation is super helpful. Think about the child who starts reading, and before they even get to the bottom of the page, they're yawning.
Yes.
Or they're laying their head down on the desk, or they're being a contortionist, trying to line up that paper with their eyes. When they're doing that, ask them this question. When you do that, do the letters hold still? Their answer will most likely be yes. If they're rubbing their eyes a lot, if they tell you that, my daughter used to tell me letters are falling off the page, sometimes they may think the letters are vibrating.
Yep.
Or thinking that the words, the letters are blending together, or they're getting headaches or strain, or they're frustrated or difficulty with reading. These are not signs of dyslexia, and right, these are not signs of visual perceptual disorders. These are signs of your eye muscles not working together. Yeah. And so when that happens, I call a developmental optometrist.
Sure.
I'm like, hey, you need to see this kid out. And so what vision therapy does is it's like a workout for your eyes. Think about when we go to the gym, or when we think about going to the gym, but really need to go to, okay, sorry, I got sidetracked, right? But our muscles in our eyes need to be worked out just as much as all the other muscles, and they need to be able to work together so we can focus and the letters are where they are. And that's an ongoing thing. So they go to vision therapy for X amount of time. It's something they need to do forever to keep those eyes strong. And when they do that, it's amazing how their reading will improve.
You know, this is really kind of ironic, because we didn't do a lot of talk before we started recording
this.
This just was kind of a topic that we decided to do and just dove right in. But I actually have this issue that you're talking about. And when I was growing up, the teachers always said I needed glasses, but I would go to the eye doctor and he said, no, my vision is fine. But I will tell you that even today, I have double vision quite a bit, especially when I'm reading or writing. A lot of times I like to write really closely to my paper because of how my eyes don't work together as well as they should. And the only reason I know this is because my son was having difficulty.
Sure.
So when I was at the eye doctor, he said, I think we were doing some tracking and he could see it. I could see the visual jump in his eye whenever he was tracking. And he said, do you see that? And I said, yes. And he said, that's because his eye muscles aren't working together. We need to get him into vision therapy. So we started doing vision therapy and using the prisms, and it is strenuous. It's
exhausting.
Yes, exhausting workout. And I was watching him And the lady that we were working with, she was asking me questions and she was like, do you see the two or do you see one? And I'm sitting in the chair next to him and I'm like, two. And she's like, oh, wait a minute. No, you're supposed to see one. And so I kind of learned through that process that I also struggle with that issue. And I was a slow reader. I was a great reader, but I was slow. It would take me a long time.
You were busy holding the letter still.
Yeah. It would take me a long time to read textbook reading because, well, A, it's just not riveting.
But oh, come on.
But B, because they were small letters and I had to work really hard to see. And to this day, to fall asleep at night, I read and it puts me out.
Yeah. It's the best sleeping aid ever.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
So parents tell me that a lot. I just had their eyes checked, or why didn't school notice this? Or the eye doctor says they're fine. And they're very confused when I first suggest this. And so 20/20 means you should be able to see a certain font at a certain distance. That's what 20/20 means. But there are 17 additional things that your eyes need to do to be able to read and read without fatigue and be able to read without blurriness or the headaches or any of those things. And so that's what we're talking about today. And if you go to vision therapy and it cured your dyslexia, you did not have dyslexia, right? I've heard that before. Went to vision therapy, I don't have dyslexia anymore. Well,
no.
Because you didn't, right? Dyslexia is a language
processing
issue. And so can somebody have oculomotor deficits and dyslexia? Absolutely. Can you have Irlen syndrome and dyslexia? Yes. Can you have ADHD, visual motor issues, visual processing issues, oculomotor issues, and dyslexia? Yes.
Yes.
Right? Why? Because we're complicated people.
Sure.
And so you can have a variety of things. And the funny thing is, I love your expression, children are funny little creatures.
They are.
Right? And so we are. We're complex human beings. And if we do not look at the whole person, our treatment plan will miss the mark. And so it is so important, again, to have the team, the whole team there, and understand the why of why the child's having difficulty doing something, because it definitely drives the treatment plan. So I will often see children come in, and if I think they have an ocular motor issue and I'm not the expert, which is why I refer out, I will tell them, go get that taken care of first. Then come see me, because my bet is that they will perform a lot better with me once that's resolved.
Well, and I mean, and this is therapy. You do a lot of hard work. And whenever their eyes aren't functioning properly and working together, that poor kid.
And you can see it in their handwriting. It's interesting. I was working with a fifth grader the other day, and he had his paper turned one way and his body was completely the other way. I mean, it was uncomfortable just to see him. Mm-hmm. And I kept thinking he was uncomfortable. So just to see what was going on with his eyes, I had him put the paper square in front of him. And within seconds, I don't even think it took a minute, he had a meltdown. I don't want to change this. Why do I have to change this? This is too hard. I can't do it like this. And those eye muscles just could not work together. And so I always get asked the question from parents and educators, how do I know what is going on? And I'm sure it's tough, but I always tell them, whatever they're not doing or whatever they're avoiding,
that's where you need work.
That's where you might want to start.
Yep.
Because there's a reason that they don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, being able to identify that would be super helpful. So some of the symptoms, again, for oculomotor dysfunction could be reading difficulties. Well, you know what? That meets a whole other list of possible learning issues, including dyslexia, reading as a second language. There's a million things out there. They may lose their place when they read. Mm-hmm. They may have difficulty with tracking, like you said, going from left to right, and then they skip a line when they read. That mm-hmm. happens a lot. They may, when they read, leave off L-Y from words, leave off S's. They may read the word A as the, they'll just insert it. And I see this all the time.
Yes.
Right?
I see that one too. Yes. I'm working with kids. Mm-hmm.
Poor comprehension, because they're spending so much time trying to hold the letter still that they're not able to comprehend what they're reading. They're just trying to hold it still.
Dealing with that specific word at a time, not the context of the word.
Exactly. Short attention span. They may look like they have other learning disabilities like dyslexia, ADHD, anxiety, when it could just be this. Not that it's just.
Right,
I really want to be careful using that word. But And then they can have letter reversals, difficulty copying from the board, things like that, and just not really meeting the potential that you see in other activities that they do. So when I think about letter reversals, that's the process I would go through. The first thing I would do is find out, were they taught handwriting? What model were they taught? How much practice did they get? And was there follow through, right? Because if we're taught it and we're just taught at that one moment, but we never have follow through as we're doing other types of writing, we may just fall into bad habits. And it may not be reversals at all. It could just be start and sequence of the letter. But if they've been taught, they've had really good instruction, the next step is I would look at their visual perceptual skills, specifically visual discrimination, which is being able to find same items from a variety of items, or spatial awareness, where they're trying to find what is different. But then that scored fine. So then the next thing I would do is look at the Jordan left to right reversal. And if they really struggle there, start looking at their ocular motor function and maybe talking and connecting them with a developmental optometrist. Because it takes a team.
Sure, it does. I have a question. You may not know the answer to this, but something that I've heard before is that, and like I had the same situation whenever I was younger, the teachers were saying, she needs glasses, she needs glasses. But we went to the eye doctor and the eye doctor said, no, she's fine. How is it? I mean, is it just more widely accepted? Is it just more education out there about ocular motor function than there was maybe whenever I was younger, or certain doctors know a little bit more about it, or?
Right. So an optometrist is different than an ophthalmologist. They're two separate professions. And so typically you are one or the other. And I remember talking to my ophthalmologist because I was having trouble with my eyes. Oh my gosh, I cannot remember what it was. The letters are moving, but they were doing something really weird. And they told me to go see an ENT.
Oh, really?
They didn't even refer me to vision therapy. And after I gave it some thought, I'm like, oh, I really need to go to an optometrist.
They were thinking that you had inner ear issues.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes. So they're just separate professions. And there are some optometrists, and we do have some local that do look at visual acuity and do prescribe glasses and do vision therapy. But typically, it's separate.
Okay.
I've seen both. So it may just be the what that provider knows and is familiar with as they refer out.
Okay. I just thinking about our parents out here who are listening that sure. think maybe this is something that their child might be suffering with. I just thought, you know, maybe we need to know where to go and how to know that.
Exactly. I think the best way to know is just ask and observe your child's reading. You know, especially just ask them those leading questions. Are you having trouble holding the words or letters still? Do they blur together? Are they moving? Do they shake? And you can see that they get tired.
Yeah. Or to me, it's always stood out to me when people say that letters move. I never considered my vision to have letters that moved. Talking to you right now in this moment, I know that's what was happening because I was getting double vision and they would actually move
Come
further
off the
apart.
Page. Yes,
the longer that I would read, or if I didn't have it in this, you know, a specific amount of space from my face, like I would always read really close to what I was reading because if I kept it close, then I could keep it at one line. But to me, I didn't really feel like they were moving. Talking about it now, I realized that that's exactly what was happening.
So it's always important to meet them where they are and do the foundational thing. So this is one of the foundational skills that would be treated first.
Okay.
Before you would just go into reading remediation or services for dyslexia or reading intervention, because you could do that reading intervention
all day long,
every day, and it will not impact that child until this is resolved. So that's why it's so important to continue to ask the why, have really good observation skills, journal, write down what you see as much as you can. So when you're talking to the providers, you can keep advocating. And if you connect with a provider and you're still not seeing results and you're still not sure, it doesn't necessarily mean that that's the wrong provider. It may mean that you need an additional team member. What I mean by that is I have clients that come and see me. They also go to vision therapy. They also go to play therapy. They're also getting OT for sensory integration.
Sure.
And they can get all of that at the same time. I find it really challenging for one discipline or one person to be able to treat everything.
The whole child. Yes.
Right. Because that's hard, right?
Absolutely.
That goes back to creatures. What did you say?
Funny little creatures.
Yeah. So I just wanted to spend some time talking about that because that's a question I get asked often. And I really appreciated when Ashley sent us that email. And I thought, yeah, we should probably talk about that because I bet you a lot of parents have that question. What do we do with letter reversals?
Sure, absolutely. And I think, you know, that really opens up, you know, a lot of things to think about whenever you're looking at your child and how they're reading and how they're writing. It's not just, you know, bad habits. Sometimes it's a lot more, and just knowing where to go and who to ask and how to observe that in your child.
Sure. Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you so much. We hope that we leave you today feeling empowered to advocate. Thank you for making us a small part of your day.
We would love to hear from you and what's on your mind. Email us questions and comments at educatetoadvocate@gmail.com. Listen for your topic to be on a future podcast. And again, thanks, Ashley.
Yes, thank you. Connect with us on social media. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram. Subscribe and listen to our podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Alexa, and on most podcast platforms.